For those of you who may have heard this sermon, I gave it last week in St. Petersburg, and if you're hearing it again, I apologize, but I changed it up a bit, so anyway, we'll go with it, see how that goes. Anyway, I am nobody's friend. I have no respect for justice, law, and order. I maim and injure, I break hearts, and I ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious, and I gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society, and my victims are helpless in the face of my attacks. Victims can't protect themselves against me because, you see, I have no name and I have no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you might try, the more elusive I only become. I am nobody's friend. I tarnish reputations. Reputations that are never the same. I topple governments and I ruin marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights. Who am I? What am I? I am gossip. I'm all kinds of gossip. I'm party gossip, telephone gossip, e-gossip, school gossip, neighborhood gossip, work gossip, and the worst and maybe the most alarming of all is church gossip. These words tell a lot about the seriousness and the damage that can occur through gossip. Some words that we use from time to time, or you might hear people use, that can lead to the spread of gossip are words that comprise the title of our message today. Guess what I heard? Guess what I heard? What about the phrase that I'm sure we've all heard, or maybe we've even spoken from time to time? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, is that true? Is that the case? Do words hurt us? Can they hurt us? Well, certainly they can. Words can be and do tremendous damage to our reputations, to our attitudes, to our render our hearts hurt and broken at times. Harmful words can cut deep and cause lasting gangrenous and unhealable wounds. As carnal human beings, we all at times have had trouble controlling our tongue. Probably the instrument that gets us in trouble more than anything else is our tongue. In so many areas of our society, the tongue is misused and is utilized in a very negative way. You know, look at the political elections and how the tongue, the instrument that God gave us to use more as a tool to communicate with, but it's used to smear the other person, to put that person down, and inevitably to make themselves look better. Candidates spread rumors, the innuendos, and they slander the other candidate to hopefully in turn to do what? To get more votes. Well, today we're going to see what's God's view of gossip. Is gossip acceptable in his eyes? How does he feel about it? We'll also examine why we gossip, what is the cause of gossip, and what is the effect of gossip. And finally, we'll answer the all-important question, how do we go about stopping it? Well, before we answer these questions, let's first give a few definitions or answer the question, what is gossip? Here are a few brief definitions. Of course, there might be more, but this is just a short list. Gossip is communicating unnecessary information at the possible cost of the character or reputation of another. It's using the tongue as an underground radio station. It's sharing information about another without their presence or their consent. It's a three-way conversation with one-third missing. It's unauthorized meddling, sometimes masqueraded as spiritual concern. It's discussing anything about another, the context of which would be altered were he or she present. It's a vial of poison waiting to be released into the body of Christ or any group for that matter. It's anything true or untrue share it about another which is unauthorized or unnecessary. And gossip is unacceptable intrusion into someone's privacy at the expense of their reputation. And like I said, I'm sure we could come up with more definitions. Those are just a few. Now, gossip, as we know, is not a new invention. It's nothing new to modern society. It's been going on for eons and eons. You know, God's word is filled with numerous examples and principles warning us about gossiping, about the gossiping tongue. We'll look at some of those in just a little bit later. But first, with gossip being defined, we need to see what is the cause of gossip. To begin with, let's go to familiar scripture back in Jeremiah. You're probably going to beat me there, but you probably have it memorized. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And in verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You know, God's watching our heart. God's searching our heart, brethren. He's testing our heart to see where we are, to see what is our innermost feelings, see what are our innermost motivations. You know, our human heart, our human attitude and approach are basically wicked. We are carnal in nature. Our mind, as we read several places, is enmity against God. And only after we are in contact with God and we have the power of God's Holy Spirit imbued in us and working through us, only then can we begin to do the things which honor and please God. So what it boils down to is, it's this wicked heart that directly and explicitly affects the tongue. Turn, if you will, to Matthew 12, and we'll read verses 34 and 35. Here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says in verse 34 of chapter 12 of Matthew, "O generation of vipers," or in other words to say, "Oh, you offspring," or "you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaks." Verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." As we see here, the cause of gossip, the cause of the misuse of the tongue, comes from within, comes from what's inside of us. And inevitably we'll eventually say or do what's on the inside. Let's look at Matthew 15, verse 18. Jesus again says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man." Our mouth generally says what's inside of us. We all will sooner or later, at some point, we will reveal what's in our hearts from the words that we speak, from what we utter with our mouths. Let's look at one more verse under this section of what is the root cause of gossip, and that's in James 4. James 4, here the Apostle James is writing to the scattered brethren at this point, and he tells them in verse 10 of James 4, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Of course, this should be one of our goals in life, to trust God, to humble ourselves before God, and to allow God, to let God lift us up. I chose this verse because I talk about the cause of gossip for a reason. Isn't it true that people in general gossip to put others down and to artificially lift up or exalt themselves? We want to try to make ourselves look better. Isn't it true they come from the angle that if I can make this person look bad, to some degree, that's only going to make me look better. We mentioned this earlier, but, you know, this certainly is a tactic of the politicians in order to get more votes. Going on in verses 11 and 12, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Or who am I to judge another? It's our place to be humble before God and then let God lift us up. You know, promotion comes from God. The minute we strive and start trying to lift ourselves up, that's when we fail. That's when we stumble. We only make things worse for ourselves when we try to do the exalting. But sooner or later, as we interact with one another, we'll say things that serve no purpose to edify. We might say things that don't unite. And we certainly don't want to do anything that's going to divide the brethren, divide the congregation. In fact, we'll do just the opposite. Our tongues will be used to tear down and divide rather than to lift up and unite. You know, Mr. Kubik wrote us a letter a couple of weeks ago about how important it is for unity, to have unity within the body of Christ. You know, and that's not what God wants. He doesn't want division. And James warns us of that here in these few verses. So as a root cause of gossip, we have to look deep within ourselves, brethren, and see things from the viewpoint that we speak what's in our hearts. You know, if we find ourselves saying things and speaking things that are contrary to what God wants us to do, then we need to look within our hearts, look within ourselves, and that we have to be humble and allow God to do the lifting, the exalting, the lifting up. Well, how do we recognize gossip? What does gossip look like, per se? What does it have a specific shape? What does it sound like? How do we know that what we might be listening to and maybe being an audience to could be gossip? Brethren, gossip is one of the most dangerous sins because it is so subtle, it's ambiguous, and many are unable to recognize it before it's too late. Especially when it's oneself that's doing the gossiping. We need to watch and be on alert against gossip. Whenever you hear of secret information being circulated about, or if you hear someone else's name mentioned in a conversation, you know, we should hightail it in the opposite direction as fast as we can. Gossip exists whenever persons talk about others in less than a favorable way. The root of gossip is negativity, which we'll have already learned comes from the heart. It's judgmentalism, it's slander, and the like. So if you hear this, it's more than likely gossip. Gossip often masquerades as concern for others. Rumors or gossip will seem more palatable if they first hide behind a pretentious expression of concern. You know, let me explain. Someone might come and say to you, you know, I hate to say anything to this about you, which they probably really don't, but I'm really concerned about so-and-so. You know, now that person may indeed be concerned, but is their concern correct? I mean, is it the method that they're using to contrive gossip? At other times, a gossip will seek you out as the confidant to unload their maybe heavy heart about their concerns. Their words might be, you know, I'm very troubled about this, about so-and-so, about this person, and I don't know who else to talk about with. I really respect your opinion and insight. You know, don't let him or her fluff your ego and allow yourself to get caught up in that effort to gossip. Don't take the bait. Don't allow yourself to get sucked into the vortex of gossip. Because once you're in it, You know, just like a whirlpool, it's a lot easier or a lot harder to get out of than it is to get in. In reality, the gossip is not sincerely concerned about solving a problem of someone else's, only in talking about it, stirring things up, stirring the pot. As I mentioned, gossip thrives on the negative, the controversial, and the sensational. They sensationalized everything. It's more interesting and more enticing that way. The more they can fluff it up and colorize it, make it more interesting, then more more people might be susceptible into listening to it. They may confide in your secrets or provide concerns about other people. We need to be careful because in consolement, we might express our half-hearted agreement with their concerns, or we may even be enticed to confide our own secret concerns to them. But consequently, the gossip will eventually repeat the process with someone else. And the problem is, the next time they repeat it to someone else, they'll add your name to it. They'll add to your name as an endorsement of their issues. And anything you've happened to say to them, and on it goes. Now, there are certainly times when people need to confide their own problems with a close friend whom they trust, whom they feel comfortable with. But, you know, avoid, if you can, revealing anything to a person who goes about talking a lot, gossips, someone that can't be trusted. A person who gossips will betray your confidence sooner or later. It never fails. So what are the side effects of gossip? Probably one of the best ways to learn the lesson of not to be a gossip is to personally feel the effects of it, to personally feel the sting of having someone gossip about you. Let's look at Proverbs 18. Please, Proverbs 18 and verse 8. Proverbs 18 and verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Adam Clark refers to the talebearer as one who whispers, a busybody, or a meddling croaker. You know, when someone whispers, when you see someone whispering or off into the corner by themselves, doesn't the thought run through your mind that maybe are they trying to hide something, or maybe yet are they talking about me? The thought goes through our minds sometimes. For some reason, a reason they don't want others to know, they're being exclusive. A meddling croaker, that's an interesting phrase, but a meddling croaker is one who grumbles or who habitually predicts evil or speaks evil about others to others. Have you ever known a person like that, a meddling croaker? Their wounds cut deep into the one that allows himself or herself to listen and partake of his or her insinuations. You know, Satan thrives on juicy tidbits and half-truths about people. Now, if we felt the ill and harmful effects of gossip, we can make, you know, one of two choices. Choice A is that we can have the attitude or approach that, you know, hey, it's been done to me. I had to put up with it. I had to deal with it, endure it. So I'm going to do it to others. I mean, are they any better than I am? Or option B is we might hopefully have the opinion, well, you know, it's been done to me. I didn't like the way it felt. I didn't appreciate the pain and hurt it caused me. And I certainly don't want to make someone else feel that way. If this has happened to you, if someone has spread rumors or been a talebearer about you for that, you know, I'm truly and deeply sorry, because I know that it hurts. It can be deeply painful. And I pray that it never happens to us, but on occasion, and unfortunately, it does. If this has happened to you, if you've been hurt or wounded deeply by gossip, Please, brethren, I hope you choose option B. I hope you have the decision to make the decision to break that cycle, that you do anything you can to break that chain so that that gossip doesn't go on and on and on to the next person. Someone has to break the link in the chain. Anyone can break the link. It could be a spouse, parents, children. Anybody can break that link. Employers, employees, bosses, friends, and yes, we as brothers and sisters in Christ can and need to break that cycle. We can't let gossip gain a foothold in our lives, brethren. We can't let gossip gain a foothold in our congregation because it will divide and destroy our congregation, our relationships, our families, and we can't let that happen. It doesn't matter who, but the gossip cycle has to be stopped in some way. Now, breaking the cycle is not easy. It's hard to do. Sometimes for the cycle to be broken, someone may have to feel it enough, to feel the pain enough, to have to wish and strive that they will not allow themselves to feel that any longer or allow anyone else to feel that pain. The cycle, they must have the approach that the cycle is going to stop right here with me. Someone has to be strong enough, dedicated enough to stop it here and now and in that instant. Someone has to decide, I'm not going to inflict that pain on anyone else anymore. And I'm not going to allow that pain to be inflicted on anyone else anymore. Can it be you? Can it be me? Of course it can. But we have to make that choice. If we're able to do that, if we have the fortitude and spirit-led desire to stop gossip, if we've been the one to suffer the brunt of that pain, then the pain we suffered will not have been suffered in vain. But if we allow that to go on and on and on, then the pain that we've suffered is to no use. We'll utilize it in no way. So let's be the one to remove a link in the chain so this trend can't and won't continue at you or someone else's expense. Another effect of gossip is down in verse 17 of Proverbs 18. Verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. Another effect of gossip is it harms others because it's undefendable testimony. It's undefendable testimony. You know, any story that we might hear or anyone's point of view might seem true until we hear the other side and until we get all the facts. You know, this is like being charged, being indicted and sentenced or tried in court and found guilty and sentenced without ever being able to give our side of the story. You know, can you see a judge listening to the plaintiff give his or her side of the story? And the defendant starts to give their side of the story, and the judge says, no, you be quiet. I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say. I've already made my decision. That seems a little funny at times, but isn't that what we're doing when we're gossiping about someone? That's why gossip is so wrong and even deadly, because it only tells one side of the story. In most cases, the other person is not there to tell his or her side of the story. It's a one-sided argument or discussion with no consideration for the facts, or at least for only one side of the facts. It's a three-way discussion with one party missing. Now, if you've ever been a part of a situation like that where a decision or judgment is made about you, and you weren't afforded the opportunity to give your side of the story, you know, it can be a very traumatic experience. So don't make rash judgments or decisions without getting all of the facts. And most importantly of all, don't try to get all the facts through gossip, because most of the time you may get untrue facts, not untrue facts, but untruths. But anyway, you might think you have all the facts, but do you? Are they the whole truth? You know, have you ever played the game where someone whispers a sentence to someone and it goes around the room, no matter how many people it might be? Maybe it's half a dozen or so. But anyway, by the time it gets back to the person that uttered the sentence, it's nothing like what they said at first. It's totally nothing. Everything has been misconstrued and misspoken along the way. Things get changed. The longer it goes, the more people that get involved, the more it misconstrued and the more damage is done. You know, if you don't have all the facts, you most certainly aren't qualified or have the right to pass on information about other people. But worse yet, what if that information is wrong? Think about what it can do to that person. Brethren, we have to be careful that we don't gossip, much less gossip about someone, and not afford them the opportunity to defend themselves. What is another effect of gossip? What is another way it can harm and destroy? Let's turn back to Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man sows strife, and a whisperer or a gossiper separates the best of friends. Gossip can quickly end a friendship. Gossip can quickly end a friendship. A good way to end a friendship is to violate a person's confidence or destroy a friend's reputation through gossip. You know, you might have a friend, and the minute you say something that's not true, what does it do to that person's feeling toward you? When we participate in gossip, we are just subscribing to an underground news radio that has the sole purpose to destroy relationships. That's one reason some people have a lot of trouble building strong relationships and friendships. It's because they don't know how to control their tongue. They allow themselves to be partakers of gossip. They allow themselves to be part of the wrong conversations that can sow strife and distrust. You know, it's hard enough to find good friends, lasting friendships. And when we do things to destroy those friendships, it only makes it harder. Back over in Proverbs 17, verse 9, we get some very wise advice. Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covers a sin seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very close friends. Here we're being admonished to promote love by not publicizing a fault, especially if it's not going to accomplish anything but harm. If the information is not needed to make a judgment, then why bring it up or make it public? If you choose to repeat the offense of some quarrel or fault when it should have been long ago forgotten, you know, be prepared to lose close friends. Brethren, as I said, we can't afford to lose close friends. They're hard to come by. We have to make sure that we strive, that we do everything that we can to hold on to our friends, that we don't do anything to separate ourselves from our friends. Choose love over gossip anytime. It'll make everybody's situation better in the long run. Another side effect of gossip is that it dissolves peace and causes tension. It dissolves peace and causes tension. Staying here in Proverbs, let's go now to Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no gossip, the strife or tension ceases. For gossip to be able to be propagated, to be continued, there has to be a sender and a receiver. It requires a person to give and a person or persons to receive or hear the gossip. Be careful, brethren, not to allow ourselves to be a tale receiver of the tale bearer. In any case, the receiver is just as guilty as the bearer. The fact is, if no one will listen to the gossip, Eventually, just as fire goes out without fuel, so will gossip. If you have a campfire and if you stop adding wood to it or whatever the fuel might be, it'll soon go out. And the same applies to gossip. As we read here in Proverbs 26, sooner or later, it'll be squelched, it'll be put out. It doesn't matter if what we say is true. Sure, it might be the truth, but what is the motive of the person saying it? Or is it, if it's true, so what if it is true, is it going to have a positive effect? If it has nothing to do with what's going on, then don't say it. Just because there may be some degree of truth doesn't mean it'll bring about a positive result. Will it cause you in the end to lose a close friend? How valuable is that friend to you? How valuable are we to each and every one, to the other? So don't be a gossip and promote tension in those around us, and especially in our congregation and in our families. Gossip can and will disqualify us from the roles of leadership. That's the next thing that gossip can do. It can disqualify us from the roles of leadership. You know, if you're known in the church, at our work, or in our community as a gossip, you know, how can we function effectively? How can we get anything done if no one can trust us? How will people be able to confide in us? People will be hesitant to be led by a leader that's guilty of being a gossip. And I might say that you aren't much of a leader if you are guilty of being a gossip. How will others be able to entrust us in confidence if we can't be trusted? In 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, we can read about qualifications. Let's turn there. 1 Timothy, qualifications of certain leadership roles within the church. 1 Timothy 3. We'll just read one verse here. Verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, not gossipers, sober and faithful in everything they do. You know, it makes perfect sense that it would be unlikely that God would use someone in a leadership role, man or woman, if that person was an assassinator of people's character, if they were a gossip. You know, we all want to be tools in the hands of God. We all want to serve a vital purpose in God's hands, in our congregation, as we strive to get God's word out to the world and preaching the gospel. But how can it possibly be if we are being a gossip, if we are sowing discord, or if we are being a divider of the brethren? It doesn't make any sense that God would use us in that capacity. We can't be doing something that serves no useful purpose and can be harmful mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to others, and expect to be used in a leadership role. How serious is gossip? Is there a penalty for gossip? Is it that big a deal? Actually, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about the penalty of gossip. First, let's turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Eternal. You know, clearly God was not talking about common social interaction. Remember, a talebearer is someone who goes about spreading rumors or falsities about someone. You know, that's the whole purpose of certain magazines and tabloids and Hollywood celebrity shows and blogs, and, you know, to earn money and to get rich at the expense of others. The more juicy tidbits, the more they can talk about someone, the possibility exists of them making more money. The poison goes down deeply and leaves people who read or watch with a feeling of suspicion and distrust and possibly now a dislike with a person or persons. And you know, we might have a negative feeling about people or a group of people without ever knowing the other side of the story because we haven't gotten their side of the story. Go now back to Romans. Let's go look at Romans 1. And we'll read a couple of verses. Romans 1 and verse 29. Here Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's telling them God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Romans 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which is bad character, and whisperers. Now verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventory of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. You know, this is really a lot of things that, you know, would be why someone would be given over to a reprobate mind. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable or an inability to appease, unmerciful. Now, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, knowing what would be the end result of what they were doing, in other words, that they would commit such things or worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here we see God puts backbiting, whisperers, and the like right in there with fornication, wickedness, and even murder as having the same reward of death. Let's go now to Psalms 15. Psalms 15 and verse 1. Psalm 15 verse 1 asks the question, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be in the kingdom of God? Who's going to dwell in the presence of God? Who's that going to be? Verse 2. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Is that you? Is that me? Are we going to be able to dwell in the presence of God? To be able to abide in his tabernacle? Those that will be around God, that will be in the family of God, will be those that speak the truth from their heart. Are we speaking the truth from our heart on a daily basis? Are we speaking from our heart? Is that what we are speaking, truthful and honorable and respectful? You know, this is the kind of person that will dwell with God in his kingdom. Verse 4. Well, let's read verse 3. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, this is a type of people that will not dwell with God. In verse 4, in whose eyes is a vile person condemned? But he honors them that fear the Lord, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not. So, he that's a backbiter that continues to practice gossip unrepented of will not be in God's kingdom. Notice Psalms 50. Psalms 50 shows that sometimes God doesn't act speedily on things, and sometimes people think just because God doesn't act speedily that, oh, I'm getting away with it. But is that the case? You know, God is a very patient God. Sometimes he lets the reins out on us a little bit, but over maybe a long period of time. But look at verse 19 of Psalms 50. You give your mouth to evil, or talking to the wicked, and your tongue frames deceit. Verse 20, you sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. These things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether such as one as you, but I will not reprove. I will reprove you, and I set them in order before your eyes. You know, it reminds me of the scripture in Ecclesiastes that talks about because God does not execute judgment right away, that man sometimes thinks they are getting away with it. God is letting people get away with it, albeit temporarily. You know, if you look around in business, some people get ahead by backbiting. In politics, some people get ahead by backbiting. In religion, some people get ahead by backbiting. These people may think they're getting away with it, but someday God will reprove them. Just because he doesn't punish them at the right moment, at that right moment, doesn't mean that they've gotten away with it. And we can't think that either. Well, finally, is there a cure for gossip? Is there a remedy for curing or stopping gossip? Well, one way is to fill your idle time with good works. Be positively productive with our time. You know, gossip is often the fruit of idleness. People may have too much time on their hands. They don't have enough to do. With idle time, one might have the propensity to dabble in areas or activities that would be considered gossip. They might be considered a busybody or just a plain meddler. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be considered a croaking meddler. One simple cure for the problem of gossip is to work, to be busy serving and caring and helping others. And it doesn't have to be just the brethren in the church. It could be your neighbor, your community, whomever needs it. Work at doing good deeds of service or some other type of good work. Fill our time with service projects or just helping one of our family members, a friend, neighbor, or one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Doing this will help supplant an idle time or any idle time where we might have the tendency to do wrong things, such as spreading gossip. Please turn now to 1 Timothy 5. And we'll start in verse 9. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton or to turn away from Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which ought not to be spoken. Verse 14, I will therefore that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So here Paul is saying or describing that some widows in the church might be qualified for special roles in the church, and some others not so much, for various reasons, as we read about. Some of the younger widows are excluded because they may have had too much idle time on their hands, and they spend too much of their time going from house to house, not serving, but gossiping. And the point I want to make here is that idle time can be a snare for gossip. It can be something that causes us to get involved in gossip when we might not otherwise. We have to be careful not to be a busybody. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Here we learn that even servants of God can fall prey to becoming a busybody if they aren't busy, if they aren't working and being productive and serving and doing things that are productive. So to cure gossip, one sure way is to replace that idle time with work. Works of service, good works, or some type of service to family, friends, church, or community. You know, we've all heard the quotation, idle hands are the devil's workshop. It actually is very true. Idle time promotes more types of works of the flesh rather than works of the spirit. And we need to have to turn that around. We need to be involved in more works of the spirit. Another thing that we can do to help stop gossip is not to talk to someone who talks a lot. Look at Proverbs. Show you what I mean. Proverbs 20. Verse 19. He that goes about as a talebearer or gossip reveals secrets. You know, therefore meddle not him that flatters with his lips. The NIV reads this way, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. You know, don't get me wrong, a person can talk a lot without saying things that are wrong, without being a gossip, but the emphasis here, the point is here, is not to listen to someone that flatters or sweet talks a lot and goes about maybe gossiping and talking too much. Be cautious around those that are sweet talkers and seem to always know it all and everything about everybody and everything. If he or she is always talking, sooner or later they'll repeat or say something they have no business doing in the first place. If you want our secrets, if you want your secrets to be in safekeeping, if you want your discussions you have with someone to be kept in confidence, don't tell them to a gossip or what'll happen. Those secrets will end up all over town. So to stop gossip, don't listen to it. Turn now, if you will, to Proverbs 11, verse 12. Proverbs 11, verses 12 and 13. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The Living Bible reads this way, a man with good sense holds his tongue, while a gossip goes around spreading rumors, while a trustworthy man tries to quiet them. Hopefully that's someone that describes up, someone that goes about as a trustworthy man to quiet the rumors. The key to stopping gossip is not only to not participate, but to try to stop it at its source. How do we handle the situation when someone comes up to us and starts to say things to us that we might or they might be considered to be gossip? A friend of mine from another church area had this happen to his wife, and the way she handled it was that when the person started talking to her, that she thought maybe was gossip about this person, or the person was talking about her in an unfavorable way, she said, I want to stop you before you continue and let you know that the person you're speaking of is a very close friend of mine. And that worked. That immediately changed the subject. The person immediately changed what they were talking about or went about their way. Look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And we'll read verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 26. Where no wit is in the fire goes out, so where there is no talebearer, where there is no gossip, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. As we also read in another place that, You know, when we stop adding fuel to the fire goes out, doesn't it? You know, most people, after a while, if they keep coming to you with gossip and you slowly over time cut them off or stop allowing them to continue, you know, they'll quit coming to you after a while. When that happens, we have done our part to stop that cycle, haven't we? We've done our part to break that chain. Now, they might run and tell someone else, but at least you aren't the one that's propagating rumors and gossip. You've done your part to break that cycle. We aren't being the fuel that's being added to the fire, are we? Going on, well, just as we shouldn't listen to gossip, we also shouldn't repeat it, obviously. But look at Proverbs 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hate stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. And isn't that true, brethren, that certainly love covers all sin? It was the love of Jesus Christ, that God the Father and Jesus Christ had for us, that covered all sin. And we can cover sin, too, with our love toward one another. We really shouldn't go about saying things to make the gospel look bad, either. Just because a person isn't a gossiper, maybe they have an issue. But as God doesn't hate the sinner, only the sin, we shouldn't hate the gossip, only the gossiping. We shouldn't mistreat them in either way. Don't be proved guilty of doing or saying something wrong or unloving about another person, about a gossip. Love covers all sin, not only some sin, but all sin. And we shouldn't say bad things about others because they say bad things about others or ourselves. Just maybe ask yourself, what would or does God want me to do? How does God want me to handle this situation? Or how would Jesus Christ respond? Proverbs 11 and verse 13. I'll just read it. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. And that's what we need to do. We need to be a faithful spirit and conceal the matter, conceal the gossip. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 9. Again, I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. We saw that earlier, that he that covers a transgression seeks love. And that's what we should be about, covering transgressions through the love that we have for that person. And this most certainly contrasts the differences between love and gossip. Which way will we choose? Will we choose to show love or to gossip? Our responsibility, of course, is to choose love over gossip. So let's strive to stop gossip by not listening to or repeating it. Brethren, gossip is never, ever acceptable to God. Don't be the link in the chain that propagates gossip and slandering. Gossip is a cancer that can and will destroy our lives, our congregation, if we allow it to. Let's be the part of the cure for that cancer, for that whatever it is that might be used as gossip from one person to another. Let's do whatever we can to cure that scourge that known as gossip. If we'll do that, most assuredly God will honor us. Let's look at Psalms 15. Psalms 15. Psalms 15, verse 1 through 3. Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, God has a special place for those that lead a blameless life and that are truly sincere, those that refuse to slander others, those that don't listen to gossip, those that don't speak gossip, those that walk uprightly and doesn't do anything to harm one another. You see, God takes gossip very seriously, and so should we. We should take it very seriously. Finally, as we wind down here, let's turn now to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication, you know, I would certainly put gossip in that category as corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We have to learn to control what comes out of our mouth. We must make sure our words are used to lift up, that they're used to edify and to ultimately glorify God. Brethren, as we're told in Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Like golden apples and silver settings, so is a word spoken at the right time. A timely or appropriate word is like words of wisdom from God. So the next time someone comes to you and says, "Guess what I heard?" Ask them the questions, "Well, is this true? Is this positive? Is it uplifting? Is it edifying? Do I need to know?" If you can't answer the right answer to those questions, run. Run fast and far. Brethren, may God help us as we strive to avoid in every way the ugly and destructive sin of gossip.